Welcome to the podcast of Life Change Church, where we exist to love people to life change. We hope that this podcast is both challenging and encouraging to you. Enjoy the message.
Awesome. Well, good morning again, and welcome to Life Change Church. So amazing. Anytime we have baptisms, it's incredible. So I'm excited for today, and I'm excited for the season we're in. It's a fun season. So if you're newer to Life Change Church, I do want to just say this. We do have what's called Discover coming up on March 3rd, and so that's a way to hear more about the story of Life Change and for us to know you a little bit more. And then we are coming up onto our Easter season, and if you've been around Life Change, Easter is a fun time, which includes a 10,000 egg Easter egg hunt, which we're going to do again this year on March 24th, and change of scenery, though, this year. So this year, instead of doing it here on these grounds, we're actually going to take it on the road, and we're going to do this at Vibrant Life Church, which is a church plant that we are getting started that's going to launch this year with Pastor Daryl Beckett. So we're going to do this at Vibrant Life Church, which is 858 Garfield. And so 10,000 eggs over there, it's going to be amazing. And we, again, as a church, we're going to serve. We're going to serve the community. We're going to be over there. We're going to make sure that side and that neighborhood gets to know the love of Jesus, which is what it's all about. So that's coming up March 24th. You'll have more information coming up, but we'll be collecting candy for the 10,000 Easter eggs. And then we'll be also putting teams together for the actual day where we're just going to have a blast together. And then that all leads up to Easter, which again, Easter's a little early this year, but it's March 31st. And so here's just the warning for you. We're going to have 4 services on Easter. Just for that Sunday, though, right? All right? But we're going to have 4 services. We're going to do a sunrise service at 7 a.m. Then we're going to do our 8:30, 9:45, and 11. And kids' life will be in all the 8:30, 9:45, and 11. So start marking your calendars now. Get ready for that. Start inviting people for that as well. We want to pack every service. I will say this. The 9:45 service will be a go-to where a lot of people go to. So you're my 11 o'clock people, so thank you. I'm going to say, even if you're crazy and you want to get to the early sunrise service, that would be a great one to come, and then you can start your Easter ham right after it. But we are also jumping into a brand new series today, which I'm excited about. It's entitled Love Does. And this is a brand new series, but it's almost like a continuation of a series we started last year. We started, and it was Love Is. And then I'll tell you what, spoiler alert, next year about this time, we're going to do another one called Love Always. And what this really is, this is taken directly from the love chapter in Corinthians. And so it was nice. Paul was real nice. He's the writer of Corinthians. He wrote a letter to the church in Corinth, and he just basically gave me a nice outline for 3 sermon series for 3 years. So I want to thank him way back when. But if you have your Bibles, we're going to jump there. And if you don't have a Bible, we do always challenge you to download the YouVersion Bible app. Just a great resource to have a free Bible with you wherever you go. But we're going to look at 1 Corinthians, again, the love chapter, chapter 13, and we're going to look at verses 4 through 7. And this is what it says. It says, love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it does not dishonor others, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres. Right? So this year, again, we're going to jump in, and we're going to look at the love does portion of the scripture. More specifically, the love does not portion of it. Right? So love does not envy. Love does not boast. Love does not dishonor, and love does not delight in evil. And if you hear me say this thing, obviously there's something about love. It takes action. And here's what I want you to understand through this series is that love is an action, meaning it requires us to do or not do something. There's steps to it. There's an activity to it. And for some of us, that means that there's even work to it. We have to be intentional about it. So here's your freebie, couples. This Wednesday is Valentine's Day. Right? It's going to require some work. This year, just so you know, Valentine's Day falls on February 14th. So if you want to just be reminded of that. Right? So this week, you're going to have to do something. Right? You're going to have to put some effort into it. You're going to have to do something because love is an action. Love is an action. Right? How many of you were like Christians in the 1990s and you listened to Christian music in the 1990s? I'm sorry to all of you. Right? But there was a band called DC Talk. How many remember DC Talk? Yeah. How many know what DC Talk said love is? Love is a verb. Love is a verb. I saw some of you out there. And then you actually have to spell love, L-U-V, because that's what we did in the 90s, just because it was cooler, right? But love is a verb, which means this. Love takes action. Love is an action, and it's something that we have to be intentional about. And today, I want to talk about how we have to take action to not envy. Right? Again, love does not envy. So let's talk about envy. When I say that, usually I come up here and say, how many guys are envious? I'm not going to do that because none of us want to raise our hand to that. Because when we hear the word envy, we know that it's not good. We know that it's not a great trait. We know that it has a lot of, it's really negative. In fact, if you look at it, envy is evil. It's one of the seven deadly sins. So you were thinking like, well, why would Paul write to this church and tell them not to envy? Like love does not envy. That seems kind of like a no-brainer. I was reading this, I'm like, well, love does not envy. Well, duh, I get it, Paul. That's like saying love does not punch somebody in the face. Cool, we're good with that, right? Or love does not like give you poison. No, we're good. Like we think that makes sense. It should be a no-brainer to us. But yet Paul still mentions this. He still puts this in this chapter. He mentions it, and here's why. Because envy is sneaky. Envy is very deceptive, and it can show up in our lives when we least expect it to. And here's what envy is. Envy is resenting God's goodness in others' life while at the same time ignoring his goodness in our own life. Envy is resenting God's goodness in others' life while at the same time ignoring his goodness in our own life. And think about that. We don't wake up and say, you know what, today I'm going to envy. I'm going to resent God's goodness in others' life. I'm going to ignore it in my life and just resent it in others. No, it sneaks up on us. There's times where this covetousness, right, this resentfulness, it shows up and we don't even know it, right? We see somebody else that's going through life. Maybe they're successful. Maybe they're wealthy. Maybe they have some great relationships. Maybe they're talented, have these incredible abilities. Or maybe they're just like a beautiful or good-looking person. And we look at them like, oh, if I could just be like them. God, why'd you bless them with all that? We didn't set out to say that, but when we see things, sometimes that's what actually happens. It just shows up. I mean, think about it. There's probably been times where you've seen this happen in your own life. You've probably seen it with people even close to you. I mean, your first friend group, you have your friend group, the first one that gets married, what goes through your head? Why are they getting married first? Envy. Coworker gets a raise or gets a promotion. Why are they getting that? I did. I should get that, right? Envy. You see your neighbor drive a new car, you're thinking down the road, you're like, ah, come on, I should get a new car. All these things, again, they trigger this, and we don't set out to, but it sneaks in, and it can rise up, and then we have this envy, and we have this resentment that comes without even realizing. Again, envy is resenting God's goodness in others' life, while at the same time ignoring his goodness in our own. And if you look at it, it sneaks up on us, but it's not new. It's something that's been happening throughout history. You've experienced it in your life. Your parents have experienced it in your life. Your grandparents have experienced it. In fact, it goes all the way back into the biblical times. It goes all the way back, really all the way to the very first siblings ever that we see in the Bible, both Cain and Abel. And you see this in a glimpse of this in Genesis chapter 4, verses 4 through 5. It says this. It says, the Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering, he did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry and downcast. Here's Cain. He gets angry and downcast because God looked with favor upon Abel. Cain immediately became resentful of Abel. Cain had this envy towards him. That's the first. We see this right in the beginning of the Bible with the first siblings. And then we see it again with the first kings of Israel. We see it with the first kings, both Saul and David. It says this in 1 Samuel 18, 7 through 9. It says, as they danced, they sang, Saul has slain his thousands and David his tens of thousands. And Saul was very angry. This refrain displeased him greatly. They have credited David with tens of thousands, he thought, but me with only thousands. What more can he get but the kingdom? And from that time on, Saul kept a close eye on David. Other translations say Saul kept a jealous eye on David. Saul kept an envious eye on David. Again, if you look at it, it sneaks up. But the thing about envy is it comes naturally to us. It comes with ease. And it's not love. Understand, love does not envy. The philosopher Socrates says it this way. He says, envy is the daughter of pride, the author of murder and revenge, the perpetual tormentor of virtue. Envy is the filthy slime of the soul, a venom, a poison, which consumeth the flesh and drieth up the bones. And think about this. This is how serious and how bad envy is. Like, this is intense. This has me saying words like consumeth and drieth on a Sunday morning, right? But this is it, and this is envy, and it's so messed up. And here's what it does. It rots relationships. It rots our character, and it rots everything around us. This week I was trying to get a banana to rot, like, so I bought one on like Monday. Usually they rot faster, but for some reason this week it did not rot, so I don't have a banana, but you've all seen a rotted banana, right? You've seen it where it turns all dark, miscolored, and it turns real mushy. Right, for some of you, you're like, that's a perfect banana for bread. The others of us, though, we're not going to eat that at all, right? We're not going to touch it, right? This is what envy does to us. This is what it does to our character. It rots us. It turns us to really becoming gross and gross to be around. And here's the crazy thing. It does take time. Right? It does take time. And oftentimes, we don't even see it. Like, how many of you think, like, you get a banana, you have good intentions, like, I'm eating healthy this week, I'm going to eat a banana, and then next thing you know, a week and a half go by, you didn't look at the banana every day, but then that thing is just dark. You're like, how did that happen? This is what envy does to us. Sometimes we're walking around, going through life as normal, and the next thing happens, there's pieces and things happening behind the scenes, and next thing you know, envy shows up, and we're like, how did that happen? And what happens is our character's rotted, our relationships are rotted. Like, this is what happens through it. The book of James says it this way in James 3, 14 through 16. It says, but if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. Envy, if you look at it, it's tied to not just being unspiritual, but demonic. Like, this, it's insane. And then it says that you'll find disorder and every evil practice. Envy leads to disorder, and it leads to disorder in our family, in our relationships, and it leads to every evil practice. This is why it rots relationships. This is why it rots our character, because it leads to us doing things that we would not do on a normal basis. And it destroys everything around us. Right? It rots our friendships. It rots our marriages. It rots our families. And some of us, we've seen this in our life. Some of us, we've experienced this. We've had relationships that are broken, and we can go back and we can really dig into it, and it can be tied back to envy. Right? It destroys things. There's evil in it. Again, Cain and Abel, like, first siblings. This sin literally destroyed one of the brothers physically. Right? Cain murdered Abel. Why? Because of envy. Envy led to doing things that you would never even think about doing. And for some of us, like, yeah, dude, I don't have envy. Like, I'm not going to murder anybody. But sometimes what the words we say, the actions we speak, and the attitudes that we have towards others, when envy and when that is in us and when that resentfulness is in us, man, some of those words, those actions, those attitudes, man, they're almost murderous. Right? And it's destroying relationships. It's destroying friendships. It's destroying families. This is what envy does. It rots relationships. Solomon said it this way in Proverbs 14:30. He says, a heart of peace gives life to the body, but envy rots the bones. This is the danger of envy, and envy sneaks up. It sneaks up in our lives, and it sneaks up in two ways. I think sometimes it sneaks up and shows up really from complaining and comparing. Like, comparing and complaining. If you look at these two, right? Envy sneaks up from comparing and complaining. And let's just be honest. We may say we're not envious, but there's times where we definitely compare ourselves to others, and there's times where we definitely complain. Right? I mean, if you look at comparison, we're almost conditioned to compare. We're taught to compare. Even from a very young age, we're ingrained in this comparison trap. I mean, think about it. The first, when you go to school, you take a test. The first thing you do with the test is you look to your neighbor and say, hey, how'd you do? And they say they got an A, You shove your paper back down your pocket and you say, cool, right? But you do, your comparison. Even at a young age, you compare Christmas, like, come back, what'd you get for Christmas? You start comparing your gifts. You compare your lunch, every lunch, right? It starts at this very young age, and it doesn't end. You continue to compare. You continue to go through it. Like, again, I'm a product of the 90s. My parents compared themselves to other parents, right? Yeah, the bumper sticker says, my child is an honor student at Johnny Clem Elementary, right? And then their friend's parents put theirs on there. My child beat up your honor student. And it was true. I did get beat up. No. It's comparison. And it happens. And it continues on as well. I mean, even right now, you know you have that one friend that always will one-up your story, right? You tell them a cool story. You're like, yeah, this is what happened. Yeah, but guess what happened to me? It's the one-upper. And it's a trap that we all fall into. Again, if you look at David and Saul, the first kings of Israel, man, Saul started comparing himself with David. Saul was incredibly blessed by God. He was the first king of Israel. He had all these incredible blessings. But when there was this up-and-comer named David started to come up, what did Saul do? He heard them singing songs about the 10,000, and rather than saying, man, this is my general, this is my guy, this is awesome that he's doing it, he started comparing himself to him and said, uh-oh, better watch out. I'm going to look at him with an envious eye. And this really led to Saul's failure. Right? This is what started with it. And this is what comparison does. It can lead to our failure. And it can lead to us being envied. And can lead to us not truly loving one another. So think about it. Who or what are you comparing yourself to? Who are you comparing yourself with? Listen, I'm going to be honest. Like, I'm not immune to this. Pastors are not immune to this. Right? So just so, I'll go to a couple conferences a few times a year. In fact, just a couple weeks ago, I was in Arizona. Let me just be real and tell you, Pastor Corbin Flaws here. When I walk into a conference, this is what I go. I look around, and I start sizing things up. It's not right, is what I do, though. I look around and be like, oh, cool, we got a bigger church than that guy. And then I'll look, oh, but he's got a bigger church than us. And then the church we walk into, I'm like, oh, that church is amazing. Like, they don't hold conferences, and like they hold them at like bigger churches. And so you walk in, and they have like everything that's like, it's so fancy. They got the LED screens. Like, it's all the cool stuff that you'd ever want. And I found myself looking, I'm like, man, yeah, if I had that, though, that would work. Like, if we had space where people could actually not, like, be touching elbows with the person next to them, then we could easily have all this stuff. It'd be totally cool. My head goes through all these things, and what it is, it's a trap. And then when I say, I wish I had that, it's envy. It's envy, and it's not loving. It's a dangerous place to be. And this is what comparison does. It leads us to that. And think about comparison. Comparison's kind of like this picture up here. You look at it, on the one side, you have your ice cream cone. If you just have that ice cream cone, if you just would go leave today, go to McDonald's and get the soft serve drippy ice cream cone, you're probably gonna have a smile on your face. You're gonna be happy about it. But the moment you get that ice cream cone and then you see your friend who got the double dipper from UDF, you're gonna be like, I'm talking like Oreos and cream, like cookies and cream and all that stuff. You're like, I wish I had that and not this. That's what comparison does. It helps us and it forces us to overlook the blessing that we actually already have in our hands. And it leads to envy. So think about it. Who you compare yourself to? Oftentimes it's to people closer than what we think. It could be a family member. Right? It could even be a spouse. And it causes this bitterness. It causes this tension in the relationship that can destroy it and rot it away. Because when we're doing that, we're not loving the way God's called us to love. Because love does not envy. Right? Envy comes from comparison. Envy also comes from complaining. Right? Think about this. How many of you have found yourself ever complaining before? Okay, we all have. It's true. Right? And I know there's some complainers in this room, but here's what I know. It's easy to complain. Sometimes I hate preaching things on Sunday because they're like, God will show me that. Hey, you complain a lot, Corbin. I'm driving around, I'm like, why am I getting behind every single slow person right now? I'm like complaining about the traffic. I'm complaining about, like, I just don't understand. Like, on a 2:30 on a Wednesday, like, don't people work? Like, 21st Street's packed. What are we doing here? Like, I should be able just to roll right down there. It doesn't happen. Right? There's a reason why we don't have Life Change bumper stickers. Like, it's because you're pastor. It's because I find myself complaining too much. Listen, the truth is we all do this. It's easy. We can look in the mirror, we can look at our lives and we can start complaining about things around us, but we can complain about our lives too. Be like, man, I'm just not where I wanted to be. And my finances are, they're jacked up right now. I don't have I'm not parenting the way I thought I'd parent. I don't have my apartment's smaller than I thought. I'd have a bigger house. I thought I'd have a nicer car. I thought I'd have a job that I actually liked. My job's not fair. All this. We can go in and it goes on and on and on and on. But when we do it, what we're really doing is we're overlooking the blessings that we actually have. So think about, what are you complaining about? You might be hearing like, yeah, I don't complain that much. Listen, I want to challenge you this week. Make note. You probably complain more than you know. Again, I caught myself complaining more than I know because it's easy to complain. But Paul says this, he writes to the Philippians and he says this in Philippians 2:14. He says, do everything without complaining or arguing. He says, do everything without complaining or arguing. He doesn't say, hey, just do the things that you really like. Do those without complaining. He doesn't say, just do the things that come real easy that, you know, you're comfortable with. Do those without complaining. No, he says, do everything. And the stupid thing about the word everything is that it actually means everything. Like everything we go through, every situation, every circumstance, it means everything. And what's the problem with that is that's hard. But Paul knows that. But he knows that also, he knows that complaining leads to envy. And envy is not love. And envy is not where God wants to stand. It's not where he wants us to live because it overlooks his blessing, and it causes us to ignore his work. Right? Envy is resenting God's goodness in others' lives, while at the same time ignoring his goodness in our own life. And it rots our relationships. It rots really our character and everything around us. And if you look at it, it's really a trap that ties us down. It really creates this monster that steals the joy and happiness that we could experience and the joy and happiness that others around us could experience as well. And it's a dangerous way to live, and it's not loving. Right? Love does not envy. So here's my challenge today. Do not envy. Easy enough. Right? Do not envy. But let me give you a couple cheat codes on it, right? Here it is. Number one is this. To not envy, you need to combat comparison with celebration. Combat comparison with celebration, which means that we need to root for one another. And we need to cheer each other on. We need to be the biggest cheerleader for our friends. We need to be the biggest cheerleader for our family. We need to be the biggest cheerleader for the people that we're around, our neighbors, our coworkers, in this room right here. We need to cheer each other on and actually root for each other. When somebody's getting something happen to them that's amazing, that's just worth celebrating, actually celebrate. Don't look at them and be like, man, can you believe that they got a new car? Did you see the parking lot? Man, that was an F-150. I'm talking like that's my dream right there. Don't like get mad at them. No, go in there and be like, celebrate. Dude, that's incredible. Get excited about it. Listen, when something happens and somebody gets a promotion, get excited about it. Celebrate with them. Right? Celebrate with others. Combat comparing with celebration. Instead of resenting, celebrate. Romans 12:15 says this. It says, rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. I think a lot of times we look at the scripture and we understand the mourn with those who mourn. And this is something we can use in times of funerals and stuff. We get that. And that sometimes, that's not that hard. It's easy to just to be a shoulder to somebody to cry on. But I think so many times we overlook the rejoice with those who rejoice. Celebrate with those who are celebrating. Right? Instead of resenting their blessings, celebrate. Right? 2 Corinthians 10:12. It says, we do not dare to classify or compare ourselves with some who commend themselves. When they measure themselves by themselves and compare themselves with themselves, they are not wise. Understand this, comparison is not wise. So instead, celebrate, right? Combat comparison with celebration. And then number two, here's how we don't envy, is we combat complaining with contentment. Be content. Be satisfied with what you have. Right? Recognize the blessings and actually be grateful for them. What that is, that's contentment. And we can live with contentment. We're called to live with contentment. So combat complaining with contentment. Be content. And here's Paul. He actually shows us how to do this in Philippians 4, 12 through 13. Paul's talking, he says this. He says, I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. Right? He's had little, he's had a lot. Right? Both ends of the spectrum. Life is up, is full of ups and downs. It's kind of a roller coaster. And Paul's saying this, and if you look at his life, you see that it was totally a roller coaster. He's saying, I've learned the secret of being content in every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. Here's Paul. He's saying, listen, I've gone through it all, and I've got the secret. And check out the secret. It's verse 13. The secret is that I can do all of this through him who gives me strength. I can do all of this through him who gives me strength. In the ups and the downs, in the highs and the lows, you can do all this. You can be content no matter what with him, with his power. Again, God is the constant. Jesus is the constant. We're up and down. We're a little crazy. Jesus is right there rolling. And because he's solid, because he's firm, because his foundation is solid, because he's consistent, we can overcome it and we can be content no matter what life throws at us. Right? The secret to combating complaints is to rely on God and to know his strength and be content and what he can do. And when we realize that we have everything that we need. Here's what I want you to understand today. You have everything that you need to do the will of God in your life. You have everything that you need to please God in your life. Right now, you lack absolutely nothing. You are enough because of Jesus. Jesus came, lived a perfect life, died on the cross, and was risen again for each and every one of us. So God sees us. He sees us through the lens of Jesus. He sees us as righteous, and he sees us as enough. I want you to understand that you are enough, and you can be content in that. And here's how this plays out. Right? The next time you begin to complain, say, oh man, my house, my apartment's too small. Listen, just be grateful that you have a place to stay. Next time you come back to your home and you see it's a wreck and it looks like somebody ransacked it, it's really your pets and your kids. Just be thankful that you have a place for your pets and your kids. Right? Stop and be grateful. Thank God for all of those things. Listen, even at church, man, we could be complaining like, oh, I can't believe we're doing 4 services for Easter. I can't believe all these services are packed. I wish I had a little bit of elbow room. Let's just stop and say, you know what? Thank God that we're in a church that is growing and thriving, right? Let's thank God and be grateful for his goodness. Embrace his goodness and be content in that. You have everything you need because of God. So be content. Envy is resenting God's goodness in others' life while at the same time ignoring his goodness in your own life. And we can live above it. We can live in love. We can truly love others to life change. We can truly love others to a growing relationship with Jesus. And we don't have to live with envy, right? Instead of comparing, we can celebrate with others. Instead of complaining, we can be content with what he's given us. And that's my challenge for you today. My challenge for you today is to celebrate with others and be content with what you have. Because love does not envy. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you right now. God, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for the love that you've given us through your son, Jesus. And God, we thank you that it's a love that we can model, a love that we can model to celebrate with others, a love that we can model to be content in all that you have truly given us. And God, I pray that this is how we live. I pray it's the way that we live to love others to a growing relationship with you. And God, it starts with a relationship with you. So right now, I pray for the one that maybe is here today that's never made a decision, but today wants to make a decision to follow you. Today wants to make a decision to say that you are his Lord and Savior and accept your forgiveness. God, I pray for that person right now that they will be forever changed because of that love. And I pray that they'll love others in that same way. God, we thank you right now. We thank you for who you are, and we give it all to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you would, pull out the connection card in the seat back in front of you. And maybe you're here today, maybe for you, when I prayed, maybe you made that decision to follow Jesus. Listen, we want to celebrate with you. We want to know. And so you'll see that on the back of that card, it says, I want to make a decision to follow Jesus. Just checkmark that box so that we can know that. Maybe you're here today, maybe God's challenging you. Maybe you find yourself in the comparison trap and God's saying, you know what, it's time to celebrate with others. Listen, write that down and then begin to live that out. Maybe for you, maybe you find yourself complaining a little too much. Listen, and God's telling you, you know what? It's time to be content. Listen, write that down as well. Listen, we would love to know where you are and to track with you on your journey. So if you would, take this moment to fill this out. This is also time to put your prayer request on there. I'll pray through these throughout the week. This is also your time to get any tithes or offerings ready or go time commitments ready as well. If you would, take a moment to fill those things out And then Randy will be up with the next steps.
Thank you for listening to the Life Change Church podcast. If you were here today and you were listening and you made a decision to follow Christ, we would love to hear about it. Or maybe you're here and you're listening and that God is asking you to make the next step with whatever that it is in your life. We would love to hear about it and partner up with you. And let us know if you made a decision to follow Christ. Let us know what God is asking of you. And if you need prayer, we would love to partner up with you in prayer as well. We hope that you enjoyed the podcast and that it both encouraged and challenged you. Have a great week.